GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.
And Louis Rabeau on ESPN Louisville, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Louis, how are you this morning?
Hey, Dan, I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm okay, and I hate to start the show on some sad news, but I received word this morning that Reggie Warford had passed away.
That's right, yeah.
Reggie was, although Tom Payne will always be recognized as the first African-American basketball recruit at UK, he was a terrible choice on so many levels.
Oh, okay.
First of all, he was. It was my senior year at Kentucky when Tom Payne signed to come to UK. And first of all, he didn't have the grades to be eligible to play with the freshman team. Back then, freshmen, of course, couldn't play on varsity.
Right.
And Tom didn't have the grades. So he played for an AAU team in Lexington called Jerry's. It was sponsored by the Jerry Restaurant Company.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they had an AAU team. Scotty Basler, former UK player, who went on to be mayor of Lexington, as a matter of fact, was kind of the person that ran that organization. And then Tom was only at Kentucky for 1 year and then left to go to, I think it was the Atlanta Hawks. But anyway, Reggie is really recognized as the patriarch of integration at UK. He signed when Coach Hall was the head coach. But I think most of the credit for recruiting Reggie went to Leonard Hamilton, who was on Coach Hall's staff at the time. And Reggie became the first African-American player at UK to stay all 4 years and to graduate.
So, that's right. Yep.
So he's kind of recognized as the first black recruit at UK. But then that opened the floodgates for some great, great players to come to UK. After him, Larry Johnson and Marion Haskins were in the I don't think they were in the next class. I think they were two classes later. And then the following year, of course, two of the all-time greats at UK, Jack Gibbons and James Lee, signed. And almost to a man, every one of those guys. And then the following year, Dwayne Casey was signed by UK. So I think that almost to a man, every one of those guys gave Reggie credit for the way he handled, because it was not an easy situation. I played, Louis, with the first African-American player in the entire conference. He was contemporary of mine at Vanderbilt, Perry Wallace. And what poor Perry had to go through being the first black basketball player in the SEC. You wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy. So it was not easy, but Reggie always carried himself with he was a great, he had great character, was a good student, and so he's the one who really gets credit for starting the recruitment of black players to the UK basketball program.
Yeah, and you know, we had Carl Schmidt on this week from the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame from Louisville. I thought Reggie's not in the Hall of Fame in the state here, and you would think that his contribution to integration, especially in the Southeastern Conference at the University of Kentucky, would get some kind of recognition like that. So maybe a name that we see in the next couple of years as they have that the bygone era committee there at the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is a terrific point. There was a funny story I was reading this morning. There was a guy by the name of Quack Butler, who lived in Murray, Kentucky, and I got to know Quack. Quack was very what's the word I'm looking for? Influential in the political scene in Kentucky. And so when I was a campaign manager for Brereton Jones when he ran for lieutenant governor, Quack kind of handled everything we did in the western part of the state. So he was one of those larger than life kind of guys. But evidently, Garfinkel, who was the guru of basketball recruiting back in the day. If Garfinkel said you could play, every college coach in the country was there trying to recruit you. But evidently Garfinkel had seen Reggie play in some tournament and said what a great player he was. In fact, I think Garfinkel said he was the quickest point guard he'd ever seen up until that point. And so he was from down that in that area around Murray, and so UK sent Quack Butler over to watch Reggie practice one day, and the people at Reggie's high school, it was Coach Rupp who sent Quack Butler, but somehow it kind of got turned around, and when Quack showed up, people there thought it was Adolph Rupp. and so they told Reggie, they said, Adolph Rupp is here to watch practice. And Reggie's response was, what does he do? So at that point in his high school career, he didn't even know who Adolph Rupp was. But sad at a young age too. I mean,
I was going to point out he dies at 67, and we think of all these things as being so long ago that we can't even remember that it's less than 50 years ago, right? And so, incredible legacy there. And so, may he rest in peace. But yeah, you saw really the transformation of basketball in your time, both in college and then into the professional ranks, especially because the ABA did such a job, played an important role in integration, the new style of basketball that was coming about. And so you got to, I mean, like you mentioned, you played with the first, first black player in the SEC, but then you get to the ABA and it really is its own cultural phenomenon at that point.
Yeah, especially because at that point, the ABA would sign anybody who was willing to come and play with them, and the NBA still had a rule that if you you couldn't be drafted until your college class graduated. And so because of that, the ABA got some unbelievable talent that came out. I mean, you can go right down the line. Julius Erving, of course, is the number one, but then Moses Malone, and George McGinnis, George Gervin. I mean, right down the line, the great players. But you know, the interesting thing is, Louis, that was all new to me. I was from Northern Illinois. I had had African American teammates and classmates all the way through. And when I got to Kentucky, and more so the SEC, that was all brand new to me. And I've told this story before. I used to we always had a pregame meal. And then when we were on the road, after we ate, instead of going to the hotel room and laying down on the bed till game time, I'd like to go out and take a walk. And I'd go all by myself, and I'd go out and walk for a half hour, 45 minutes. And so we're playing in Ole Miss, in Oxford, Mississippi.
Oh, yes.
This would have been 1968. So, you know, I mean, for young people, 1968 was forever ago, but really it wasn't that long ago when you're talking about issues like this. And I walked to Oxford like most southern towns, That was the county seat. You know, they had the courthouse in the middle of the town square. And so I'm taking a walk all by myself, and I walk through the town square, and I see two drinking fountains. And one has a sign that says white, and the other has a sign that says colored. And I was shocked. Absolutely. I mean, that was all brand new to me. But that permeated, at that time, that permeated the South, that way of thinking.
Yeah, it further underscores the importance of a guy like Reggie Warford, who
exactly
right, who I mean, that is an incredible task to take on. There was I forget the comedian's name, but he essentially said his grandmother's advice to him was to never be the first black person to do anything, always be the second person, because it would be so difficult. You're totally right. I mean, you're just walking around, you're a college kid, right? You're just out for a stroll, and you just see. Yeah, I can't. It's so removed from anything that I've experienced in my life, Dan, that I can't even imagine.
Well, you're a northern guy too.
I am, so. Yeah. But even if you grew up, if you were my age and you grew up in Louisville, I mean, those things certainly wouldn't have been part of the fabric of your childhood or anything.
Thank
like that.
Goodness.
So, yeah, thank goodness is right. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, rest in peace, Reggie Warford. You won't find his name on any of the NCAA championship teams. You won't see his name highlighted in any of the stats at UK, but probably as important a player as any at the University of Kentucky. So what else is going on, Louie?
So I think Stephen A. Smith had the worst basketball take at halftime that I've ever heard in my life. And so I want to get straight into that, because he told us at halftime that he was watching Jason Tatum and that he was clearly injured. Do you remember this? And he pointed to both shoulders. He goes, I was watching him react, and he's just not right. And then Tatum shows up in the second half and plays like an MVP. And so I've never rooted harder for a player that I really don't have any kind of, you know, doesn't play for a team I like or anything else. I was like, oh, Tatum's hurt? That's exactly what we need in this series. Jimmy Butler's hurt. Jason Tatum's hurt. All these guys are hurt. And then he comes out and he plays like his life depends on it in the second half. He was great.
Yeah.
It just made me smile that take was just so bad.
So off. Yeah. I actually didn't see the first half. I was invited to an event last night, and I had a great time. It was a watch party. Of course, right now in Denver, the focus is on the Avalanche, and I want to talk about that game too.
Yeah.
But so I was at this event for Nugget season ticket holders, and did a little Q&A. With the radio announcer for the Nuggets, and met some very nice people and had a good time. Of course, it was at a brewery, a brewing company, and every TV in that place was on the Avalanche game. So I saw none of the first half and got home.
Dan, you hipster, look at you. You're hanging out at breweries watching the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
You hipster, look at you.
Oh, yeah. You know, and half the people in there had never heard of Dan Issel. But there were some old people there who remembered when I played. So it was, yeah, but I enjoy doing that stuff.
Of course.
You know, there's and I can talk about the history of the Denver Nuggets, and of course, I said what I've said publicly, that Nikola Jokic is the greatest Nugget that there's ever been, and of course that got a round of applause. But then I went all the way back to when the Nuggets used to be called the Rockets, the Denver Rockets in the ABA, and said I thought the second best player that ever played with this franchise was Spencer Haywood. And, you know, of course, nobody there even remembered when Spencer Haywood played for the Rockets. But it was a fun evening. But I did get home for the second half.
Yeah.
After watching the second half, Louie, the thing that kept coming into my mind was, how in the world were the Heat ever ahead at halftime to start with?
Yeah, right. I mean, it just – The Celtics were missing shots in the first half for sure at an alarming clip. I think the combined three-point shooting in the game was 17 for 88.
Yeah, well,
I mean, both teams horrific from outside the arc. And so that's when you started to see Tatum go inside. You started to see, you know, especially Jaylen Brown, went inside over and over and over again. He was 5 for 10 inside the arc, 5 for 9 outside, had that dunk kind of seal the game at the end. By the way, did you stay up to see the dunk?
Oh, yeah.
Because the whoever is in charge of production at ESPN, they went straight to Pat Riley's face. And he had to, it was great. They nailed it. He was so despondent, like, oh, okay, so we're getting crushed. And then the kid goes flying through the lane and Bam Adebayo has to duck and get out of the way. It was so bad. But Bam was a lot better yesterday. Speaking of Bam, but everyone else on the Heat had a bad game. I mean,
here's my take on Bam. I thought Bam was really good after the game had been decided.
Oh, okay.
I thought he became more aggressive and scored more after you knew that the Heat had no shot.
I think he had 8 or 9 points in the first half, and that was one of the reasons that they were in the lead there. He was pretty good, but there's not a lot to say. I mean, even, you know, and Jimmy Butler is a shell of himself right now. 4 of 18 from the floor in 40 minutes. I don't know why they keep playing him that kind of minutes if he's not clicking the way that he should be. You know, Oladipo comes out, shoots 1 for 7. I mean, it just was not a good performance. And, I think this is the first thing I've gotten right since we've started talking NBA playoffs. I thought the Celtics would win last night with Marcus Smart coming back. And he wasn't great, but just his presence on the floor seems to be enough for them to be a better team in this series.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think they ended. Of course, every time I think that one of these teams has gotten the upper hand, the other team has come back and won. But I don't see, given that performance last night, I don't see how the Heat ever come back and win. Is that tomorrow night in Boston?
It is. They're playing. There's kind of a, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting that you say, is it tomorrow night? And the answer is yes. And so Mark Cuban the other day pointed out on Twitter, as fun as the play-in tournament was, it led to playoff games being played every other night, which raises the question of whether that has led teams to being tired and possibly injured. We can't extend the last day because of TV. Should the play-in be just the 8th seed or not at all? And, we talked about this, new era of sports. The guys take much better care of their bodies, and if they're injured, they don't play. Where do you fall on that? Have you been a fan of the play-in games, or would you rather they just get to the 8 teams and have a little bit more time off in these series?
No, I kind of like the play-in the play-in game. I mean, it really it's not that important. It gives them another television game that they can make more money on. And the idea was, Louis, that would keep teams from tanking,
right?
And I don't know, given a choice between having a play-in game or getting a better draft pick, I mean, at that point you're not very good anyway.
Correct.
So why, you know, I don't know if that really keeps teams from tanking, but I kind of like that. It's just this idea to me that this idea that playing too often is the reason for the injury or for the poor play. I don't buy that.
Okay.
Because I've been there. I've played 100 basketball games in a year. And sure, you have little nagging things. You don't feel as good as you did the first day of training camp. But still, that's part of the game to me. And so, you know, this load management and letting guys take days off when there's absolutely nothing wrong with them, and you know, playing every if you we used to play a series, we'd play 4 games in 5 nights,
right?
in four different cities. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't buy it. I don't buy it that we're playing too often or playing too many games. That's just, hey, Louie, I want to remind you about my friends at Bear Nose Pizza, especially Rob Moody out at Bear Nose at Bowman Field. There are 14 area locations in Kentucky, Anna. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner, carry out, delivery, or dine in. Support your local businesses. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
And don't forget, it is playoff season. We do have those games on our air here. Western Conference Finals Game 5 tonight. Warriors-Mavs, 8:30 on 680-1057. And Dan, we're getting some texts on the text line. UPS Jobs text line, 437-9680. Someone texting in. I'm pretty young, but the show Winning Time made me appreciate Spencer Haywood. So there you go. So people are getting to know some of that history by watching that show. That's great.
You know, Spencer, and I've said this on the show before, I'm going to make it my personal mission to get Spencer Haywood's number retired for the Denver Nuggets. He certainly deserves that. And for people who don't know about Spencer, Spencer in for the 1968 Olympics, that was the last year they used to have a quota system that they chose the Olympic team. Now, in 1972, everybody remembers that when they had to replay the end of the game three times for the Russians to win. That was all college. But in 1968, they took four guys from AAU ball prior to the ABA. AAU basketball was very popular. A lot of the big corporations had teams. And so they would take four guys from the AAU, they would take four guys from the NCAA, four guys from service basketball.
Oh, okay.
Mike Silliman that went to U of L. I think he played for the Army at that time. He was on that Olympic team in 68. They take one guy from NAIA and they take one guy from junior college. And the junior college guy was a guy that played at Trinidad Junior College in Trinidad, Colorado, by the name of Spencer Haywood.
Oh, wow.
And that 1968 Olympic team was the coming out party for Spencer Haywood. He was absolutely terrific. At the age of, I think, 18, maybe 19, he was the star of that 68 Olympic team. He then went from Trinidad after the Olympics, went and played it at Detroit, I believe.
Yes, he did.
For a year, and then signed with another one of those players that came out before his college eligibility was over, and signed with the Houston Rockets. And I've told this story before. My very first professional basketball game, I was a rookie with the Colonels, and we played an exhibition game against the then Denver Rockets in Pueblo, Colorado.
Okay.
And Spencer Haywood, in my very first exhibition game, scored like 32 points and had 17 rebounds.
Jeez.
And we got on a bus, and it's about a two-hour drive from Pueblo back to Denver. And I can remember that bus ride like it was yesterday, and I'm thinking, what in the world have you gotten yourself into? You ain't as good as these guys. Well, I didn't know at the time I was playing against one of the all-time greats. And so then Spencer jumped to the Seattle Supersonics, and there were a lot of lawsuits back and forth about, you know, could he go from the ABA to the NBA? And he kind of was a pioneer in that, Louie, and opened up that door for a lot of people to go back and forth between the two leagues. And then Spencer is very public about his drug problems and, you know, never really had a chance because of the off-the-court stuff. Never really had a chance to show what a truly great player he was over a long period of time, but Spencer Haywood's in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yep.
So somebody realized he could play.
Yeah, I mean, the gold medal in 68 in Mexico City, like you mentioned, and then you know, the cocaine issue that he had when, frankly, a lot of people had a cocaine issue, right, in the 70s. And so, yeah, what could have been a little bit. But he is a Detroit kid, by the way, went to Pershing High School. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Did he – now, I'm assuming you have this pulled up in front of you. Did he go from Trinidad? Did he play college basketball at Detroit?
He did. He played at Detroit Mercy for the 68-69 season. Yep.
Yeah, and then went to the Rockets and was in Denver for a year or two before he jumped to the Supersonics.
Right. Yeah. He was actually drafted by the Buffalo Braves in 1971. How about that? Take you back. That's the Clippers, right?
Huh?
That's the Clippers, right? Buffalo moved to San Diego, moved to LA.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And John Y, again, a little history lesson. John Y Brown chose not to include the Colonels. He thought the asking price was too high, and chose to disperse his players and put money in his pocket instead of paying money for the Colonels to join the NBA. And then he went and bought the Buffalo Braves. And there was a I think his name was Cohen. I'm doing this from memory, which is never a good thing. But he owned, at that time, he owned the Boston Celtics. And he wanted to move a team to Southern California. And he knew that there was no way in the world he was moving the Boston Celtics to Southern California. So he and John Y traded teams.
Wow.
John Y became the owner of the Boston Celtics, and again, I think his name was Leonard Cohen. He took the Buffalo Braves to San Diego, and they became the Clippers. Yeah.
I mean, he did put together, you know, that team that was here, Mike Storin and Hubie Brown. I mean, those are two of the giants of basketball in the 70s, right? And so a pretty remarkable thing. You know who Mike Storin's daughter is, don't you?
Yeah, Hannah Storin. I've known Hannah since she was 12 years old. To Hannah, when Mike was general manager of the Kentucky Colonels, Hannah was 12 years old. And so, yeah, I stay in touch with Hannah. Her husband is Dan Hicks, who does a lot of stuff on NBC, especially golf. And Hannah is married to Dan Hicks, and they when Tom Hammond and I did some NBA games, we were like the third string. You got our games in Fargo, North Dakota, but Dan Hicks was our sideline reporter.
Oh wow.
So I know Dan as well, but Hannah's had an unbelievable career. She started with the Turner Company down in Atlanta, but then she's been at ESPN for years.
Do you know how she got she goes by Storm as her last name. Do you know how she got that? That's a pretty cool story, actually.
No.
So out of college, she took a job in Corpus Christi in Texas as a hard rock DJ. So she changed her name to Hannah Storm for hard rock. I love that story. That's great.
Of course, I knew that she had changed it from Storm to Storm.
Sure.
But I never knew the particulars.
I would say she's probably one of the two or three most important women to come up in sports broadcasting, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, she's synonymous with now with ESPN, but before that, just, you know, being in sports broadcasting in general. So
I want to say, and I might not be right, but, you know, I hardly ever am. I want to say she was the first woman sportscaster hired by ESPN. I think she was the first one.
She joined in 2008, it says right here at ESPN. I have to think Linda Cohn was on before 2008.
Was on before that.
I think so. Yeah, I would have to look that up. But she's one of the first. And frankly, they put her in a role where she was hosting by herself, right? And
yes.
Linda always seemed to have someone else at the desk with her. She got to 1992 is when Linda Cohn got to ESPN. So a couple years
before. Oh, wow. So she was there a long time before Hannah.
So, yeah.
Well, a reminder that this is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt, Dan Issel, and Louis Rabeau on ESPN Louisville, and we are brought to you by our friends at Stockton Mortgage. Vision, everybody has one. That epic cross-country road trip, your dream wedding, that kitchen renovation for churning out next-level entrees, and the folks at Stockton Mortgage can help you achieve your vision. If you're a homeowner, then you may have heard that home values are on the rise in most areas. Take advantage of the low rates to refinance your home mortgage to get cash out and finance your dreams. Give the folks over at Stockton Mortgage a call today or get started by going online at Stockton.com. NMLS 8259, NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, Equal Housing Lender.
This segment of Stockton Mortgage's Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And welcome back. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN Louisville. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, enjoy a horseback ride, or simply soak up the sights and sounds of nature. Looking for more thrills? Hop on a mountain bike, race through rapids, venture deep underground, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. And just to clean up a mistake that I made, we heard Louis from our good friend Lloyd Gardner,
okay,
who said Irv Levin was the name of the man who owned the Boston Celtics when John Y and he traded the NBA franchises.
Appreciate Pink listening to the show.
Hey there, yes, yes. Well, Pink's like me. He doesn't have much of a life anymore.
What else?
And speaking of that, I know you have a life. You have little ones, and you have a job. But yesterday afternoon, you know what I did, Louis? I watched every pitch of the Kentucky Auburn baseball game.
Wow! Okay.
And what a game it was! It was fantastic, fantastic. Did you do you know how it turned out?
I don't.
Kentucky won, and they will now go on to weather permitting. You know, they've had a lot of rain in Hoover. And so, Kentucky, I think, was supposed to play day before yesterday and finally got that game in. But they had a kid named Harney,
yep,
pitched for UK and went 7 innings and was fantastic. I mean, he did not allow a run. It's the first UK starting pitcher to go 7 shutout innings all season long. But he was fantastic, and Kentucky scored early in the game, second or third inning, and so it was a 1-0 game all the way through. And then in the top of the 8th inning, UK had some terrible base running mistakes.
Ah.
The first guy up doubled, and then they tried to bunt him to third. And, you know, there's an old adage in baseball, you don't make the first out or the last out at third base. And so they bunted, but he bunted the ball right back at the pitcher. They threw to third base, and he was out by a yard. I mean, it wasn't even close. Then, later in the inning, the guy that bunted the ball, of course, was safe at first. A UK player hit a gapper, and they sent the guy from first home, and he was out by 3 yards.
Oh,
and
God.
So just a couple of really bad base running mistakes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of knew something was going to happen. Well, Auburn has a player, and I'm sorry I don't have all the names of these guys because it was a terrific game. Auburn has a player who was co-SEC Player of the Year. Had a bunch of homers, high batting average. And this guy looked like, Louie, he looked like a guy playing Sunday afternoon softball in the beer league. His last name is
D. Chiara, and he hit a 2-out, 3-2 pitch out of the park to left field. There you go.
Yep. But I mean, he's fat. There's no other way to. I mean, he looks like
he's a first baseman. You'd be nice now. He's a first baseman.
Yeah. No. But obviously he can hit. He was the co-player of the year. So now after those base running blunders in the top of the eighth, in the bottom of the eighth, Auburn ties it up. UK comes up in the top of the ninth and hits back-to-back home runs.
Lead off the inning. Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrific. And the amazing thing is that they have the second homer came, and I do have this young man's name. His name is Fogle.
Yep.
That hit the second home run. He's a transfer from the University of Hawaii, where my grandson plays baseball.
There you go.
to even have more dramatics, in the bottom of the ninth, the first two guys get on for Auburn. So they've got guys on first and second, nobody out. But then then Kentucky gets the next three out. So, they move on. Kentucky, only 12 teams get to go to Hoover. So there's two SEC teams that aren't participating. But Kentucky, out of the 12 teams that are in Hoover or were in Hoover, Kentucky was the 12th seed. And so, but what's really nice about this now, Louis, is that first round, you know, where they get rid of all those crummy teams, that's single elimination. You lose in the first round, you go home. But now that Kentucky has moved on to play LSU today, it's double elimination. So,
interesting.
Cats have a little bit of a shot here.
Nice. Well, there you go. You'll have to inform me because I simply don't know. Is the baseball tournament a win and in for the NCAA tournament?
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, I just simply don't know because, with their record in league this year and other things, it would seem they would have to make a substantial run in the tournament to have a chance. Yeah, right.
But I don't think – I think because I also saw that U of L lost – to Pittsburgh,
they did the opposite of what UK did yesterday.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes, but U of L will still be in the NCAA tournament.
They will likely host a region if they win today. Yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. So they this is kind of like they still have to play even though they have no shot to advance. They still have to play the game today.
It's purely a consolation game today. Yep.
Yeah. But so congratulations to UK baseball. They are moving on, and that was a fun way to spend my afternoon yesterday.
Now they played it on the First Take yesterday. The sound of John Calipari congratulating the UK baseball team a couple of years ago. Have you heard that sound before, Dan Issel?
I have not.
Okay, Avery, is there any way for you to find that sound, at least work on it for me? Because I would love to hear Dan Issel respond to Coach Calipari wishing the baseball team well, if you can find it. I don't know how it's labeled or whatever, but I think that's an important thing to do.
I wonder who already pulled up. I could be wrong, but since it was played yesterday, probably.
Okay. What were you saying, Dan?
I was going to say, I wonder who told Cal that the baseball team was even playing.
That's so true. Oh, man. Oh, but we do have some more text coming in on the UPS jobs text line, 437-9680. A texter agreeing with you, Dan, and going a little bit further, saying players today are soft. Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, the guys in that era didn't take games off. Were you calling this era of basketball soft, or were you just pointing out that you guys used to just play a bunch of games, you know, in consecutive days?
Well, I guess, I mean, I didn't use that word.
Correct.
But I guess I am. And last night somebody asked me about Nikola and what impressed me the most. And my response was, his talent is obvious. I mean, he's the two-time reigning MVP in the NBA, for crying out loud. But the thing that impresses me most is he plays.
Correct.
He's out there every day, and that impresses me. And there's so many players today that aren't out there. They think if they play, you know, three quarters of the schedule, they're doing a good job. And I guess I am calling them soft, or I don't know what I'm calling them, but but the texture's right. Guys didn't take days off, and if I was a ticket buying fan,
that would be the most frustrating thing. That's right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you know, the NBA is concerned about it because Adam Silver a month or so ago said they're looking at, you know, why all these star players are missing so many games. I've told this story. I don't think I've told it to you, Louie, but we played. I was with the Nuggets then, and we played an exhibition game someplace in Canada. I want to say Toronto, but that might not be right. But we're playing an exhibition game against the Philadelphia 76ers. And the 76ers come out for this exhibition game, and they're like starting five is in street clothes, including Julius Erving.
Yeah, right.
And I thought we were going to have to fight our way out of that. Those fans went absolutely nuts, not getting to see all of those top 76er players. And that's the way I would feel. I mean, if I was, you know, and you can go right down the list. We pick on Anthony Davis all the time, because, as Charles Barkley said, Anthony Street Clothes Davis, he's probably the poster child for great players that, you know, don't play half the time. But if I'd paid money to go watch the Lakers play, and Anthony Davis and LeBron are sitting on the sidelines, you know, I'd want my money back.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't want to pay good money to watch that stuff.
Yeah. All right, so we have the sound. I would love to get – I'm going to get way out of the way here. Avery, go ahead and play. This is – oh, man. What year did UK go to the College World Series? I should set this up a little bit. UK baseball, College World Series. That would have been in – oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. All right, I am not finding it, but that sort of doesn't matter. It might have been just a couple years ago. Avery, go ahead and play this out.
And the boys, unbelievable. You got your together and you believed. You believed in each other. You believed in your coaching staff. Nick, coach of the year. A team on a run. But you're not finished yet. No, no, you're at Kentucky. Regular season's fine. We're doing this. We'll figure out a way. We'll find a way. We'll be down. We'll be up. It's never over. We're bringing it. We're going to the Big Lady Sings so we can smoke a cigar. I want to come to the World Series. That's what I want to do. Keep doing it, boys.
That's a start. Did they catch Coach Cal after a couple of glasses of wine to record that, Louie?
We only assume.
Oh, I've never heard that before. That is funny.
The reason it got brought up is because those SEC, especially like the summer meetings are about to happen, and he taped that on the essentially on the balcony overlooking whatever ocean they go to for that those meetings. And yeah, it's all time sound. It's really I want to go to the World Series.
That's
going to the to the Pink Lady Sings. Is that what he said? The Pink Lady.
Yeah,
that's great too. It's just good sound. You pointed out earlier who told Cal that the baseball team was even playing. But on top of that, how does that video get out? It's great. I mean, I'm glad it did, but it's sort of shocking that that video would get released. Oh, good stuff.
That is funny. Thanks for bringing that. I'd never heard that before. That is funny. Well, this year's team's going to have to win a few more games before they have a chance to hear the Pink Lady sing. Oh, man. That's great. That is great.
So that was 2017, so it's been 5 years already, but that is still really, really great sound.
All right. Hey, speaking of that, yep. I want to get your take on this. The Las Vegas Raiders evidently have given Colin Kaepernick a workout. And is this, do they really think, and the reason that this jogged my memory is that Kaepernick hasn't played in the league for since 2017.
In 5 years, that's right, yeah.
So does anybody really think that the Raiders worked out Kaepernick because they think he can now come and help them quarterback position? Or is this all, hey, you know, this was very controversial and we at least ought to look like, you know, we're trying to mend fences here and give Kaepernick a chance to play in the league again?
So what says Dan Issel?
Me?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was that good when he played. I mean, I know he had that nice run with the 49ers, but then the last couple of years that he was there, he was completely ordinary. And if he hadn't had this, and believe me, and you know, Louie, I'm a conservative, I'm a traditionalist. A guy doesn't stand for the national anthem, you know, he's in my book. And so that's how I that's how I feel going in. If he hadn't been at the center of this controversy, nobody would even remember who Kaepernick was, and his NFL career would have been over about the same time. And so I think it's, I mean, the NFL, did they not come out with a statement encouraging teams to give Kaepernick a tryout, to give him a chance to get back in the NFL? I think it's all window dressing. I don't think, I mean, you're out of the game for 5 years. You got, and were average when you left. You've got no shot to make a contribution.
It's interesting because outside of the Super Bowl year, his record as a quarterback is something like 16-26.
That's what I said. Other than the nice run, the 1 year he had with the 49ers, he was a marginal quarterback at best.
Yeah, I'll be honest. My brain went a little more cynical than yours, even, because it came out afterward that Kaepernick had a Nike deal, right? And so he was making money, and he didn't have to go get a professional contract. I'm wondering if the Nike deal ran out, and this is why he went and did. I'm not kidding. Like, this is why he went to the Michigan spring game and is looking to get a contract, because if you don't have that income, then you need to go get it somewhere else. And I'm a little surprised that he hasn't gotten a broadcast deal somewhere, right, with someone who has a sentiment similar to his or whatever it might be. But I also really haven't, I'll be honest, I don't know that I've heard a lot of him talking, to be fair, you know, outside of the ads that I've seen and those sorts of things. So, no, but my brain went to that. Is he you're getting support on the text line, by the way, Dan, 437-9680 on the UPS jobs text line. But that's where my brain went. And I'm with you as far as the performance stuff, that if you're out of the league for 5 years, it would be pretty darn hard to have stayed in shape and be, you know, have your quarterback acumen up to the level of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Louie, I don't want to minimize the stance that he's taking. There have been some instances, a lot of instances where there have been policemen who have gotten a little carried away with their badge and with their power. And so I don't want to minimize what he is protesting. I think I agree with what he's saying, but to protest it by not standing for the national anthem, that you lose me in a hurry right there.
Well, who was it that was in the NBA that wasn't getting off the bench for the national anthem, and then essentially his career was over?
It was a kid that played for me, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
That's right.
Chris Jackson.
That's right, Chris.
Chris Jackson. Yep. And I've said this before, Chris. I was the first one in the Nuggets organization to start calling him by his Muslim name. I was the first one to refer to him as Mahmoud instead of Chris. And, I certainly, being a Christian, I don't agree with the Muslim thinking, with that religion. But I will tell you this, I was very impressed with Mahmoud's dedication to his Muslim faith. But it eventually, as you just said, it eventually cut short what could have been a really nice NBA career. I mean, he wasn't the first year I had him. He came to Denver. I think he was a third pick in the draft. You can look that up.
You're exactly right. 1990, third overall pick. Yep.
Yeah. But and those who remember the then Chris Jackson at LSU could shoot the eyeballs out of the basket. But he was a little frail kid, and somebody told him that, you know, he had to gain weight to be able to play in the NBA. And he showed up in Denver for his first rookie camp, and he looked like a fat little pig. I mean, he was so out of shape because he had gained all this weight, thinking that would benefit him. And so when I took over as coach, the first thing we did was get him in shape. And he played great. I don't know what they called it then. It wasn't the sixth man. It wasn't the comeback player. But he won some award the first year that he played for me in Denver. But
he was the most improved player in 1993.
There you go. The reason he got traded out of Denver was his refusal to stand for the national anthem. But then what really cut his career short was following all the Muslim practices, fasting
during Ramadan.
That's what eventually his faith. But I'll tell you what, he practiced it. He was dedicated. Once he became a Muslim, he was a Muslim all the way. But that was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf with the Denver Nuggets, who refused to stand for the national anthem.
There you go. Yeah, he ended up playing in Turkey and then in Russia and ended his career in Japan, actually. So played a bunch. He actually played 21 over a span of 21 years. He actually took the entirety of 99 and 2000 off, according to this article, at least, because he had lost interest in basketball, which is interesting. So.
And I think recently, who's the guy that started the 3-on-3?
He played in the Big Three. Look at you. Yeah, he played for the Three-Headed Monsters. There you go.
Yeah. No, I followed Mahmoud and tried to keep up with what he's doing and where he is. The other thing that was unbelievable about him was he has Tourette's syndrome.
Oh, interesting.
And this, if you've ever been around somebody who has it, it's an unbelievable disease. I mean, sometimes it would take him 5 minutes to tie his tennis shoes in the locker room. And if you interviewed him after the game, and Tourette's, you have uncontrollable barking, it's a terrible disease. But if he would be interviewed, you wouldn't see it. But when he relaxed, like after the game on the bus ride back to the hotel, it was terrible. I mean, it was just, he was making all these uncontrollable noises. So he had that he also had to deal with. But Mahmoud was he could have been a really, really good player.
As you point out,
period of time.
Yeah, as you point out, they retired his number at LSU. He was that good in college.
Really?
Yep. There you go.
Well, how did we get on that? Oh.
From Kaepernick to no, because I had remembered you talking about Mahmoud before, and so I just couldn't remember his first name, and that's where my brain went. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sports Talk Radio. There you go.
There you go. There you go. Well, this is Sports Talk Radio with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Ribot on ESPN Louisville. And this segment of the show has been brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.